This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
Indeed, we are back, folks. Sports Kings here on a Thursday talking college football, national championship, and all that good stuff that took place on Monday night at the new Georgia Dome. But we have a special guest going to come on and give us his opinion, his take on what he saw in that big game in Atlanta, and that is our own SB Nation college football writer, Matt Brown. Matt, what's up?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Matt, man, we are happy to have you. We always like to get experts on here on the Sports King Show. But anyway, Matt, a grand finale for college football, for the college football season. And, you know, what a way to go out the way it did. So just kind of give us your thoughts on that big game now tonight.
You know, I wasn't expecting myself to say this after an Alabama game, because it's so rare to say that, to have this kind of takeaway. But I thought it was an amazing ending. Like the first half was every bit of the skullduggery, I think, that maybe some people who aren't SEC fans are kind of worried this game was going to be. But because Alabama did so many very un-Alabama-like things, it took some big risks, you know, not just by putting in a true freshman who had seen minimal, meaningful playing time this season, but really being very aggressive with play calling. And that led to not just a really compelling television product, it led to perhaps an unlikely national title here for Alabama, and sets up, I think, some really fascinating offseason storylines, because what this says about Alabama's offense, where they are as a program right now, and what this means for Georgia as well, that a game that they probably should have won and then lost perhaps by putting a little bit too much Nick Saban in them. It's really just a fun play against Tyke.
Oh, man, I had to ask you, because, I mean, Saban came out and said, and this is something that I thought that was very un-Saban-like, is how he came out and said this is a happy season man after winning a title. Do you think that has anything to do with he had three freshmen out there that was really doing well on offense?
I mean, I'm sure it's part of it. I mean, to the extent that Nick Saban is capable of feeling human emotions like relief and happiness, that, you know, I'm you know, from watching him from afar, watching the way this Alabama program runs, you could be excused for not thinking that, you know, that they can feel anything. But yeah, this was probably the most mortal Alabama team I think we've seen over the last 6 years. One tool that we use a lot at SB Nation is the S&P Plus metric, which evaluates how teams perform on a per play basis rather than just using like raw offense or raw yardage or anything. And that showed that this Alabama team, you know, was really a cut below the last other one. This was a team that had some real injury problems on their defense, that relied on youth in a lot of key positions, and couldn't just bludgeon people necessarily with raw talent like they're typically able to do, because, you know, they have a Cleveland Browns, you know, caliber linebacking core every single season. So the fact that they were able to win this time by beating up another one of his assistant coaches, who Saban beats every single time, and having to do it in a unique, different way, I'm sure it's got to be very fulfilling for that coaching staff and for this fan base.
Once again, we are talking to Matt Brown from SB Nation. And Matt, I want to take it real quick to the Georgia side. And honestly, watching Jake Fromm this whole season, he was pretty decent, and also he was a really good game manager. But I was also really impressed that sometimes he did take those risks too as well. He'd like to, you know, throw it down the field. But, and it's funny, because I was kind of thinking about this. Of course, he beats out the other guy, you know, for the quarterback position, but also you got Justin Fields coming in next year, possibly the best quarterback in the nation coming in. So I kind of thought that he kind of, you know, set himself up really good for next season. But do you think he has anything to worry about come next season?
You know, it's going to be interesting. Georgia's already going to lose, I think, a 5-star quarterback recruit, Jacob Eason, who was supposed to be the starter this year. I believe is going to head to Washington. I don't really look at Fromm's performance this year as indicative of, like, oh, he has a lower ceiling. I mean, this was a true freshman that was dealing for a lot of the season, takes him to the championship game, and wasn't somebody that needed to put up these superlative numbers that you might, maybe somebody of a similar recruiting profile might another offense, because Georgia had the best offensive backfield in the country. You can hand it off to Chubb, if you can hand it off to Swift and go between the tackles and get 6.5 yards to carry, you don't have to do anything particularly exotic with your passing game. I would be surprised if Justin Fields comes in there and steals this job. If you want to look at an example of a contender who might have a perfectly competent quarterback replaced by a hotshot recruit, I think I'd look more at Clemson with Lawrence coming in there potentially being able to win that job. But Georgia's going to be in a lot of blowouts next year. They have a really, on paper, simple non-conference schedule. They have a talent advantage over everybody is in the SEC East. So if you want to watch Justin Fields play football next year, I'm sure you will because he'll be able to get into plenty of blowouts.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting to hear. And also, and I forgot to mention that Alabama is kind of facing the same thing right now, too, as well. So what do you kind of feel that Hurts kind of might lean towards, too? Because, of course, a lot of people are talking about him maybe even transferring or switching a position. Of course, that's very possible. But what do you think he might lean to?
You know, I honestly don't know exactly what his academic situation is, whether it makes sense for him to take a transfer. Because if you're not able to graduate immediately, having to sit out that entire year before you're able to play again makes transferring to another FBS program a little bit of a more difficult calculation. Although certainly there's going to be a ton of programs who would be interested. What fascinates me about him, and what I'm going to be interested to see what happens with Alabama's quarterback position over the next year and a half or so, is how quickly the conversation changed about Hurts. Because this, you know, it's not like this is some like two-star quarterback that Saban like reconfigured from a tight end. Mm-hmm. He was a high four-star guy, a top-10 quarterback recruit. And when he came in after the USC game last year, the whole narrative was, hey, Nick Saban finally has an athletic, mobile quarterback that's replacing all of these statue white guys over the past couple of years. And now Alabama's going to start using RPOs. Mm-hmm. They're going to start using this more modern offense. It's going to be really exciting. People are going to want to watch Alabama. And that was true for like 3 weeks. And then I don't know if it was like he had to assimilate into the Alabama Borg of an offense or if his confidence got shifted or something, but he kind of melded back into this more conservative game manager type to the point where he regressed, where he had to be replaced by now another, exotic, exciting, mobile, strong-armed guy that's supposed to go change Alabama's offense. So there's a lot to really like about Tua, but it's going to be interesting to see whether he's able to maintain what makes him a unique quarterback playing within Alabama and what Nick Saban needs him to do, or whether that system changes him into something that maybe is a little bit less exciting or potentially leaves him open to a situation like this happening in his sophomore season.
So you're talking about Jalen Hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah, and I, you know, good points on that, Matt, and my thought, and we talked about this during the break, you know, Saban having the guts to make the call. I think sometimes in the media we're probably making it more out than what it should be because, hey, this man is a genius, he's a good coach, and apparently what he did won him the game, and he knows his players. We're not in practice with him. We're not recruiting these folks like he does and his staff. But the question will be, since we are in the media, and that is, you know, will Jalen Hurts, I mean, yeah, we saw the good sportsmanship and everything on the field and everything, but, I mean, you know, can we see something different? Can we see, I mean, is Jalen Hurts really feeling that move like everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think he's potentially good enough to be able to win that job again in camp. I mean, he won it the first time. He won a ton of games with Alabama before. We don't know what another camp is going to look like. If he loses the job to Tua after, you know, Tua just won a national title in overtime, there's going to be plenty of other places that would take him. There's a ton of Big Ten schools where I think he'd be successful. He'd be a dynamite quarterback in a Mississippi State offense. I think he'd do very well on a lot of Big 12 schools. But we don't know. There's so much that can happen between now and even the spring game. The waiting list, I think, for him would be very long if he decides that's what he wants to do.
So we have a quarterback controversy at Alabama is basically what we're saying here, right? I mean,
there's going to be a bunch of them. I think we might end up having one at Clemson, or we could have one at Ohio State. We're definitely going to have one with Michigan. Like, that's going to be a dominant storyline over the next couple of months. A lot of very big name programs do not have an extremely defined quarterback heading into next year, or have multiple candidates who could become that person.
Once again, we are talking to Matt Brown from SB Nation, and also Arthur of What If, a closer look at college football's great questions. Matt, I have to ask you, of course, we got to wrap it up pretty soon, but sure. Looking into next year, I see on opening weekend we're going to have Michigan at Notre Dame, Auburn against Washington at Atlanta, and also LSU versus Miami in Jerry's World. Any of those games, you know, kind of catch your eye a little bit, even though it's, you know, way too soon right now?
Sure. I'm fascinated by the LSU-Miami game. I think that's a fun juxtaposition of two very different, very spirited fan bases and programs that I think are going in really different directions right now. Like Miami, if they're able to get an improvement and better consistency from the quarterback position, whether that's bringing in a graduate transfer or getting better production from what they already have on their roster, that's a team that could compete for a playoff spot again. That's going to be another preseason top 10 team. They're loaded in their offensive backfield. I love what they've been able to build in their secondary. They got another great recruiting class coming in. LSU had projects to have an unusually down recruiting class. It's not totally clear what they're going to be doing at the quarterback position at this point. And they just released a really talented, highly regarded offensive coordinator, and their big promotion was their tight ends coach.
Yeah.
And that's already happening here after a lot of LSU fans are nervous hiring Ed Orgeron to begin with. So I think there's a lot of pressure on LSU coming into this season. If being able to come in and steal a win against Miami would go a long way towards convincing some of their anxious fans that they're not looking at another 8-4 year.
All right. Hey, Matt Brown, thanks a lot, man. We will have you back on here. Matt Brown, SB Nation. College football, folks, Sports King Show. We'll be right back.